Joshua chapter number 1, and we will look at verse 1 and following. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee in all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I want to look today at the conditions for success. The word success is used one time in the Bible, and we just read it in verse 8. Success. What is success and good success? Let's pray, and we'll go on. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity now to open the Bible, to read what you have written, what you have given for your people to read and to understand. Help us to hear from you now through your word and your Holy Spirit, and that it would guide and direct. I pray for anyone here that might not be saved, might not know you as their Savior, that they would understand that is the most important thing for success. That is the crucial part. And help us to, from there on, understand from our salvation what else you'd have us to know and do. And that we would be successful people, shining lights, examples of your goodness in our life. And may you just guide and direct what I say. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, number one, understand his purpose. Verse 1 and 2, God spoke to the new leader, Joshua, just as he had to Moses, and said, take the people and go into the land and claim the land. Understanding God's purpose, knowing your purpose of life, knowing what God's will is for your life. Ephesians 5:17 says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's so important that we understand what is God's will for my life. And you probably think it's an elusive mystery to find that out, but it isn't so hard if you'll just think of it this way. What are you supposed to do right now? And are you doing it? And then from there, when you start to obey that, then he'll show you what's next. Then he'll show you what's next. If you're saying to yourself over and over that God's just not showing me what his will is, I'm just wondering what it is you're not doing right now. Because I believe that there's already plenty of obvious things that we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be somewhere. We're supposed to belong somewhere. We're supposed to be saved. If you're not a Christian, you're on your way to hell instead of heaven. You need to be saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. And we'd be glad to visit with you after church today and show you how that can happen, how you can simply know Christ as your Savior and trust him for your own salvation. After salvation, baptism. Baptism, after baptism, belonging to a local church, having a local church family, and serving the Lord through the local church and as he'd have you to serve him. There's just so many things that are obviously written and given to us in the Word of God that if we're not doing those things, that could be probably, I would say, the reason why we're not understanding what's next. And so understanding his purpose for our life, that's number one. Understanding what does God want me to do? What am I supposed to do with my life? Where am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to plug into what God would have me to do? Secondly, to claim his promises. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says here, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them, to claim what God has promised. You know, there are a lot of promises in the Bible for us. And when you have it nailed down for sure, and you know that God has promised certain things, you can claim those things. I'll just show you some promises in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a promise that is from God. If you are a Christian, you can never be out of the presence of God. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, and he has made us, those of us who are saved, not everybody, but those of us who are saved, it says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7 of chapter 2, Ephesians 2, 7, that in the ages to come, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, we have the promise of a reservation. It's not used so much around here, but if you go to a fine restaurant or fancy dining, a lot of times that they want you to make a reservation. And by reservation only a lot of times. And, I've gone with my grandparents years ago. We'd go to maybe a restaurant and somewhere, and they would name, please. And then you'd give them their name, and then they'd look down. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about right now. They'd look down this list, and they'd find, yes, sir, and they'd say your name, and then you'd go in. And it felt kind of special when they had your name on their books. You know, that person who walked in without a reservation, well, you're just tough luck, right? You know, I have a reservation. It's written in the books of heaven. You know that? My name's already there. I'm as good as there, all right? I'm in heavenly places in Christ. I already am there. I hope you understand how important that is as a promise from God. It's not like I might get to go to heaven. No. I'm already there, okay? I'm as good as there. I've got a reservation. I haven't checked in yet, but I'm on the books, okay? That's a blessing. That's a promise from God. Know what you can claim, okay? You don't have to live your life, I hope so. You can live your life, I know so. And these things are written that we may know that we have eternal life, the Bible says. And you can know that you're saved. Claim the promises of God. Don't live and wallow around in the hope so when you can know so. Salvation is something that you can have secure, and you can be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. That's a promise from God. There's lots of places we could go. I like one passage that shows a lot of promises all in one place. Proverbs chapter 3. I was preaching on this on Wednesday night. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then here comes the promise. And he shall direct thy paths. Those things that are conditional on our part, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's how you get saved. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. And then the last part of verse number 6, and he shall direct thy path. There's the promise. So if you're not getting direction, it's because you're not doing the first part of verse 5 and 6. Lean not to your own, in all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways. Remember, I was talking a minute ago about my wife saying, I just believe God would have us to go up and talk to this lady on Tuesday. I'm glad we didn't wait till Saturday. There's times in our life where we just need to recognize God got a plan change for us. Years ago, I used to pastor in Newcastle and in Custer. And I was at the hospital in Newcastle, and I was visiting someone, and I got out of the hospital in the parking lot, and I turned and I swung my car to go towards Custer. And the Holy Spirit said, you forgot about JD. I'm not saying that I heard a voice, but someone said to me, you forgot JD. Oh, you know, I was tempted to just keep going. Well, no, I stopped, I turned around, drove back into Newcastle, knocked on the door, and the dog started barking. JD was laying on his deathbed with cancer in his home. I had heard he was sick. I didn't know how bad he was sick. And the door opened, and his daughter opened the door with a frustrated look on her face because the dogs were all barking like crazy, and J.D. was yelling because it woke him up. And she was frustrated. She opened the door. She looked at me, and then she went, are you the preacher? I said, yes. Come on in. She'd been praying for a way to talk to her dad. Went in, sat down with JD. I can tell you all of this long story, but I won't. But he's a character. And I said, JD, I'm talking to you. I want to talk to you about the Lord. And I didn't know this, but he'd been watching those creation evolution DVDs. He'd been watching them. And he'd been listening. And God was preparing his heart. And I said, JD, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. It looks like you're not going to make it. It looks like you're not going to get out of this bed. You're going to probably die. You need to know. And he says, do you want to? He said, yes. I mean, that's how he said it, with that kind of a voice. Just like, yes. And he prayed like the thief on the cross. And he prayed and asked Jesus to save him. Phew. I walked out of there. Of course, she's sitting in the kitchen table praying and crying. She was a Christian. She said, I was praying. I was wondering, how am I going to talk to my dad? I just needed help. And God sent. Listen, you know what? It's so important that we lean not to our own understanding. I mean, we can make a plan, and it's good to make a plan. But if God changes the plan, listen to what he wants you to do and just go with it. And don't lean to your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and let him direct your paths. Look at verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's what you need to do. Verse 8, here's the promise. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It's literally healthy to do the right thing and to be wise in the Lord and to let evil alone. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. You know, the Bible teaches the concept of putting God first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's another promise. You put God first, and the promise is he'll take care of you. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We put him first. You know what day of the week this is? This is the first day of the week. That's why we're here. That's why we meet here. We meet on the first day of the week. And don't let these new calendars throw you off. This is not the weekend. I know we live in vacation land around here, but this is not the weekend. We started a new week today. And on the first day of the week, we meet and serve the Lord. We worship the Lord. We meet together on the first day of the week. We take the first fruits of what God's given us. That tithe, that 10%, we give him first place. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thy increase. Why? Verse 10, here comes the promise. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There is just no way that I can describe and show you how God has just done more with what I had than I could have done with what I had. I just honor the Lord with my substance, and he takes care of my needs. There's so many times where things happen that I had no idea that was going to take place and a blessing from the Lord, and I just chalk it up to, put God first. Put God first. If the IRS ever comes and says, how do you have this? I'll just say, God. That's all I'll say. I can't explain it. Just God did it. Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. You know, sometimes we get mad at God because he's given us a spanking. First of all, I want to tell you this. If you're getting a spanking from God, that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. Because verse 12 says, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. I'm thankful that I'm getting a spanking. I don't think any teenager in here will admit this, but there's something deep down that's very satisfying knowing that mom and dad care enough to spank me. I mean, I'm sure that's not what they tell you. But I do believe that children desire someone to care. And whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. It's a blessing to get spanked from God. It's a promise. And so when you know that God's correcting you and spanking you, and you wonder why he never seems to spank the neighbor, he never seems to spank that coworker, but he gets after you for the littlest of things, that's a good thing. It's because he loves you and he wants to correct you. There's just promises in the Word of God that if you'll do what you're supposed to do, there's a promise that follows behind. You claim the promises of God. I encourage you to do so. If he said, this is what I want you to have, I want you to have all this land, you just walk up and down in it and you just claim it, it's all yours, then do it. Just walk up and down it and start claiming it. Start claiming what is in the Bible. There's hundreds of promises in the Bible. Claim what is yours. Understand what your purpose is, claim what the promises are, and then thirdly, be assured of his presence. That goes back with what we read a minute ago in Hebrews chapter 13, but be assured of his presence. Back in Joshua chapter number 5, I got out of there, but I'll go back to chapter 1, verse 5. It says this, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Verse number 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." In Daniel chapter 3, we don't need to turn there, but in Daniel chapter 3, Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were challenged with a test. The king had said all the people of the land were to, when they hear this music played, they were to fall down on their knees and bow before this idol, this statue that the king had made of himself. And they were to bow down and worship this idol. And those three young men from back in Israel, the Hebrew young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, "We will not do so." And they stood while everyone else was bowing. The punishment for standing was to be thrown in the fiery furnace. The king brought them in and said, "You must not have understood. Maybe you didn't hear the rules correctly. But I said everyone is to bow, and those who don't bow get thrown in the fiery furnace." They said, "We heard, but we're not going to bow. And we believe our God can deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us." That's what they said in verse 17. We believe he can, and he will. Verse 18, "But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow." Now, that was boldness because of the presence of him being with them. They knew he was. See, they said in verse 17, "He will deliver us." One way or the other, he will deliver us. Because either he will deliver us from your fiery furnace physically, or we'll die in your fiery furnace and we'll be delivered from you physically into a spiritual world. I mean, think about it. Every Christian that dies is delivered from this present world, and they are with God. If you're a Christian, there is not a time from right now to eternity when you'll not be in the presence of God. Ever, ever, ever. Think about it. You say, "What if they kill me?" Will you still be in the presence of God? You cannot be out of the presence of God. So be assured of his presence. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he said, "Go into all the world, preach, teach, baptize, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I am with you, I am with you, I am with you. There's never a time when he's not with us. Isn't that a blessing? Be assured of his presence. If you want to be successful, you need to understand his purpose. You need to claim the promise. You need to be assured that he is always there. Always. You know the story. They threw them into the fiery furnace, and they looked in and said, "There's not three in there, there's four in there." And guess who number four was? Be assured of his presence. And then number four, have courage with his presence. Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." Have courage with his presence. If you'll just go in this order and you'll realize, listen, God is with me. I am where I'm supposed to be. Those boys knew they were where they were supposed to be. But I'm in a furnace. But I know that I'm where God wants me to be, and he's with me. The disciples forgot that Jesus was with them in the boat when they started to get scared at the storm. He's with me. He's always with me. There's a young man named David in 1 Samuel 17 walked out to face a giant. And the giant said, "What are you?" And that little young man said, "You come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." God's with me. And you've defied his name and you've blasphemed his name, and God is with me. He had courage that was unnatural. Elijah, older guy in 1 Kings 18, stood up to 450 false prophets and challenged them and boldly and courageously challenged them to a duel between his God and their God. Of course, his God proved true, and those 450 lost. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Not in our own strength, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at Philippians 4:13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Have courage, not self-courage, not self-reliance. The arm of flesh will fail you, the song says. Understand the courage is knowing I'm where I'm supposed to be, and then being able with courage to just do what God's given me to do. There's some times I get so scared, I get so nervous and so worried, and I just have to remember, am I where I'm supposed to be? And if I'm where I'm supposed to be, I know I am in the presence of God, and I know that he's with me and that he is approving what I am doing. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 14. The disciples forgot that Jesus was the one that put him in the boat. And they should have remembered, if Jesus put us in the boat, then surely Jesus wants us to understand that he's in charge. He knows where we're at. We don't need to be afraid. Boy, I get scared like you do. I get discouraged and depressed. I got to stop and remember, God is still in charge. I don't know what bad news you might receive this week, or maybe you received last week, but God's still in charge. If you were in my Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about how if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The good news is, if your God is your foundation, if Jesus is your foundation can't be destroyed. The good news is, when you read the last book of the Bible, God is still on the throne. Doesn't matter who's president. Doesn't matter who isn't president. Doesn't matter what's going on in this world. God is still on the throne. I can have courage. And here's what I want to say to you. I should have said this at the beginning. I read this quote, and I'm going to say it now. The secret to success is falling into his will and doing it his way. You see, God's in charge. God is still on the throne. Yeah, but you should see what they're doing now. You should see what these guys are up to now. You should see what the enemies are up to now. Oh, I know there's lots of enemies, and I know there's lots of stuff going on, and I know the devil's real, but God's still on the throne. God's still in charge. There's not one thing that's happening right now that the devil or anybody else can do without God saying, okay, I'll let that go because I got a plan. Not one thing. And so we just need to fall in. You know, that's an old military term. What does it mean, guys? Fall in and start marching. Fall in to his will. And then do it his way. Why I say that is because he's on a path. He's going somewhere. And here's what I found out about success. If he's going that way and I try to go this way, I will not end up at success. But if I'll fall in and go with him, I'll be a success. You're frustrated? You're not successful? Which way are you going? I'm not a successful guy because of me. If I have any success, it's only because I found out which way he's headed and I've fallen in. That's what you got to do. And so have courage and be bold. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And I believe what he means by that is I'm going to my Father to speak on your behalf. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If it's in my will, I will answer it. It's not that some people are just better at praying. It's just that their prayers are in tune with his desire. Learn to pray as he wants it done. Learn to find out what he wants us to pray for and pray that way. And have courage in his presence. Number 5, concerning the conditions for success, be faithful. Be faithful, as we go to Psalm 19, be faithful to the leading of God. Be faithful to what he's leading. Follow him. Psalm 19 and verse 11. We sing Psalm 19 a lot as a chorus, but we don't sing verse 11. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. It's talking about the word of God, the statutes of the Lord, the law of the Lord. And so talking about the word of God itself and the Bible and in his law, verse 11 says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. I mentioned earlier about honoring him with our substance and putting him first and tithing to him like we ought to. There's just some things that I determined years ago before I was married that I would keep those things and I would not falter from them. That I would keep those things. That in keeping of them, there is great reward. There's some things in the Bible that I know I am to keep. I am to keep what he's committed to me. I am to trust and to allow him to be my Savior and to be my leader. And I am to keep what he's given me to keep. To keep the law, to keep the rules, to keep what... And then so back there in our book, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 7, says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. You got to keep following him. Don't turn to the right hand or the left. Keep following the leading. He's leading. You heard me say it earlier. He's going this way. And so you fall in line. You start to go this way and you start to follow. And we've all been there. If you're saved, you start to follow. I mean, you're my, all of a sudden, oh, shiny. Spiritual ADHD. Oh, that looks interesting over here. Don't turn to the right or the left. Keep following him. Yeah, but that looks more promising. Right. Of course it does. But go straight. Keep following him. Keep following his leading. Stay faithful and keep what he's given you to do. Over in the book of 1 Samuel 15, King Saul stopped keeping the word. 1 Samuel 15. Listen to what this is quite the commentary. 1 Samuel 15, 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. You see whose rejection came first? You stop keeping, he'll stop keeping. I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but you can lose being king. You can lose being blessed. There are sad stories of Christians who rejected the word. No excuse for that. Be faithful to his leading and keep. You say, yeah, but she ran off on me. That doesn't give you right to disobey the word of God. Yeah, but he abused me and ran off on me and cheated on me. That doesn't give you right to stop keeping the word of God. Listen to me, I'm telling you right now, keep his word. Keep his word. Don't reject his word. You despise the word, you'll be destroyed. You fear the commandment, you'll be rewarded. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the sons of God are they which are led by the Spirit of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. What it's saying there, it's, the proof is in the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. A lot of people call themselves Christians, but you have to watch who are they following and what result is it in the following. Be faithful to the leading of God in your life if you want success. Number 6, Psalm 1. It goes along with verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate for 5 minutes in the morning. It's not what it says. And in his Bible, in his word, doth he meditate day and night. It's just all day long. That word meditation is like a cow chewing its cud. You say, why do you mean by that? Well, you ever look at a cow chewing their cud? I don't understand it all, but they say the cow's got several stomachs. And they eat that grass, and they chew it, and then they swallow it. And then they bring it back up, and they chew on it some more, and then they swallow it. And then they, and I'm sorry if I'm making you sick, but that's what meditation is. Meditation is you just keep chewing on it. You ate it in the morning, and then sometime else in the day, you bring it back up and chew on it some more. And you bring it back. You meditate on it. You chew on it more and more. That's what that cow's doing. That's what that cow's doing. It's just chewing on it. That's what it means to the person who's blessed is meditating on it day and night. In verse 3, it says, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's success. Success is not your little checked off calendar of reading a passage and calling it good. Success is when you are meditating it day and night. When you delight in the word. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Matthew 12:15 says, out of the good treasures of his heart, a good man will bring forth good treasure. Listen, that treasure is from the word of God hidden in your heart, and from it comes the good treasure. That's why it comes out, because it's hidden in your heart. Delight in his word. Read it and meditate on it and delight in it. If the Bible is not exciting for you, no wonder you're not successful in what you should be successful in. Understand his purpose. Claim his promises. Be assured of his presence and have courage with that presence. Be faithful to his leading. Don't turn to the right or the left. Delight in his word. And then back in Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be obedient to the will of God. Goes back to really number one. Be obedient to God's will. You know what he's given. You know what he wants you to do. Now do it. Joshua was told this by God. Then Joshua had to go tell the people. So God tells Joshua, this is how you're going to be a success. This is what I want you to do. Then Joshua in verses 10 all the way up to verse 15, Joshua is telling them, this is what you got to do. You got to do what you got to obey God. You got to do what he wants you to do. You got to follow him and you'll have good success. In verse 16, and they answered Joshua and said, all that thou commanded us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. That's the answer. Bible says, if you know to do good and you doeth it not, it's sin. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it's a sin. James 4:17. If you know, as I said earlier, what God wants you to do right now and you're not doing it, that's the problem. The knowing has to go along with, combined with surrender and submission and doing. It's not so much that we need more education. Some of us might. There might be someone here that you've heard things for the first time ever, and now you're going to act on those things. Praise the Lord. But a lot of times, we know it. We just haven't surrendered to it. We just haven't submitted to it. And we're not doing it. And because of it, we're not obedient. And that's why we're not successful. But if you'll do these things, if you'll follow this pattern, and you'll just do what he's given us in this outline here, you will have good success. Not necessarily in the eyes of the world, but hey, have you noticed the eyes of the world doesn't really know what success is. Don't worry about whether or not your neighbor thinks you're successful. You might not be successful in man's eyes in your lifetime. It might be later. There's a story out in our missions book of a man named Fraser. He gave his life for some native people over in Africa somewhere. And he felt like such a failure because it seemed like all the years that he gave, there wasn't much to show for it. And at the end of his life, he passed away feeling very defeated. Other missionaries went to the same region and found that Leslie Fraser was his name. They found that there were over 1,000 natives meeting in separate little churches all throughout that area. And they asked these people, where did you hear about God? Where? And they all said the same man's name. And he never knew it. You've seen that story of the man at George Street. There's so many times that we don't think we're successful. That doesn't mean you're not. Let God show you. Maybe you have to stand at heaven's balcony and look over the edge, and he'll show you what's really going on. But just do what you're supposed to do and trust him for the rest. What are the conditions for success? You heard them today. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm